Well, praise God. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And praise Him, all creatures here below. That qualifies me. I am a creature too. Do you know even all creation, all nature praises the Lord? Amen. How many can see that in the little baby birds as they chirp, amen, and they cry out to God, and amen, and mom comes along, drops a worm. Amen. So to each his own. That's how God has designed us, right? He designed these really as his crowning creation. We were made for him. We were designed for God. To live independent of God is to live dysfunctional. God wants us to understand that. And sometimes we have to learn the hard way. But you know, I've taken a lot of tumbles along the way. I've made a lot of mistakes. And it's always better to say yes to the Lord and say yes every time. And God is trying to get us over ourselves. God wants us to die to ourselves so that we might live in Him. Hallelujah. You know, we can crowd God out sometimes because we want to be Lord of our own lives. And how many know that we were not designed again to live independent of God? And if you try to do so, you're going to make a mess of things. Well, how many know the world is in its condition today because of that very thing? That man says, I want to be my own God. I don't want to submit to the Creator. I want to do my own thing, and I have a better idea. How many know that God is much smarter and wiser than we are? I think the Creator knows the product better than the product knows itself. And we do well if we just start to learn, you know what? He's always right, and He's right every time. You'll save yourself a lot of heartache in life if you just learn to say yes to the Lord and know. He tells us these things. He tells us the truth because He loves us. Amen? God will tell you the truth because He loves you. Now, we don't always welcome the truth, but it's only the truth that's going to set you free. There's been times when people have spoken into my life because I needed to hear something and I didn't like it. And don't look so sanctified there because you have been there before too, right? You didn't like to hear that, you know, but it is so good. And when we get to the place where, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth. And we love the truth because we love Jesus. And Jesus is the truth. All right. So I'm going to continue on today from where I kind of left off last week. I'm going to repeat a few things that I had shared about the importance of understanding that everything that you're doing right now in your life, everything you're looking at, listening to, speaking about, okay, every action that you take has a direct correlation and connection, if you will, to the spiritual. So what you do in your body matters. What you do in the natural matters. And it matters in eternity. We are in the proving grounds. We are in the time of conditioning and preparation. All right, for eternity. If you will, we're in boot camp, spiritual boot camp. And that's why sometimes there are difficulties along the way, right? But there are things that happen in our lives that are difficult. And sometimes we're not quite sure why. You can be doing all the right things and still have a hard time. How many know I'm talking about? But if you understand God's heart and know that God knows what we need to develop us and to strengthen us and to equip us so that He can raise us up and use us so that we can one day reign with Him. If we suffer with Him, if we endure, we shall also reign with Him. Amen. So I want to begin today with 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. So it's clear from Scripture that God wants a people who will one day reign with Him and over the earth. There are those who have been faithful in their lifetime. Those who are faithful in their lifetime will be qualified to reign with the Lord during His 1,000-year reign on the earth. The Bible is very clear. There will be a 1,000-year, we call it the millennial reign, when Christ will establish His throne in Jerusalem and reign over all the earth. In Revelation 26, it says, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. Jesus spoke of two resurrections, a resurrection of the just and a resurrection of the unjust. You want to be in the first resurrection. Amen? Because he says, but over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So in order for us to be qualified to reign with the Lord, we have to undergo a series of tests. We have to be tested. We have to be proven. Amen. Before you get on a plane to take a trip anywhere, you assume that they've put that plane through all the proper testing. That is going to be reliable, is going to get you to your destination, all right? How many know that it's very important that you have good QA, quality assurance, right? Or quality control, and some would say, if you're building aircraft. And just because, you know, you're going to be flying way up in the air, right? And you don't want that thing to just fail on you. And sometimes when I get on, how many here have ever flown before, right? You ever get on a plane and you're looking at the plane and say, man, this thing looks real old. And you get inside and it's like rickety inside and you're looking up, man, everything is faded. And especially when you get in those little puddle jumpers, those little tiny ones, and you're like, it's a good time to repent right then. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But you have to, you know, assume that in the natural, somebody is paying attention to what's going on. There's somebody that's making sure all that everything is functioning properly. Amen. So that plane will have, you know, its purpose. It will fulfill its purpose and get the passengers safely to where they need to be. And likewise, your life is like that. God is in the process of developing us. And there are things that happen in our lives that we would never choose for ourselves. There are tests that we undergo that we may not necessarily like, but how many know that if you want to be promoted, you're going to have to go through some testing? If you want to be proven, you have to first be tested, amen, so that you can be proven to be user-friendly. God wants a user-friendly people, amen? He wants a people that are saying, yes, Lord, I understand you're always right, always, amen. And in the areas where we don't think God knows better than we are, that's the area where we really need to repent, amen, and understand that, yes, God is smarter than we are. He is wiser than we are. So we are really in time of training right now in this world. And as you know, life is very quick. It's only a moment. You know, we don't have a lot of time. Our lives go so quickly. This last year has just flown by, has it not? And we look around, and some of the folks that were with us in the beginning of this work are, if I looked at you, I didn't mean you necessarily, but I'm noticing that some people had black hair, and now it's getting gray. And I noticed that some of us had shingles on the top of our head that are no longer there, you know. And, one time I was looking at a mirror. Actually, it was a picture. And there was some guy in there, and he was bald. I say, who's that? That's you. I didn't know. Anyways, you can't stop the process of aging. And what we need to know is that God has given us a certain window of opportunity. God has given us a little space of time right now, amen, to be prepared, to get prepared and be prepared for the day when we take our last breath. Or the Lord comes and receives us. Amen. Because who you are in that day is who you're going to be for eternity. There is no purgatory. That is man-made doctrine. Amen. The Bible does not support that. Once you die, who you are is who you're going to be. And that's why it is very important that we wake up. Amen. And realize that I need to get my heart right with God today. Because no one knows what's going to happen tomorrow. We know that God is giving us opportunity right now to make peace with him. Amen. Through the blood of Jesus. So before a product is released into the market, it has to be tested and proven so that it will be reliable. David. I want to talk about David again. He didn't try to promote himself. But David was just faithful to do what his dad expected him to do in the natural. David took care of his dad's flocks. Out of sight, probably most of the time out of mind. But David was faithful in the absence of his father to take care of the flock. Because even though his dad might not have been there watching him, God was watching. God was looking at David. God saw David's heart. He saw David to be a faithful young man who took good care of his father's estate, amen, his flocks. And so before David became king of Israel, he had to first be proven in the natural. He had to be faithful in the task that he had at hand to do in the natural. So the title of the message is part two of The Natural Comes First. First the natural, then the spiritual. What we do in the natural is connected to the spiritual. What you do now will affect your future. How you live your life matters. Are you hearing me? And even though man may not see you, God is always watching. There is a record of everything that we do. In 1 Samuel 17:34, David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God." Moreover, David said, "The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Now, how could David have such confidence? Because he had been proven, amen, and he knew that the Lord was faithful in his own life, even in the small, what we may consider the smaller things. How many know that being attacked by a lion or a bear can be a dangerous thing? You know, he was in training for reigning. He didn't realize what was going on at the time because David didn't have really any agenda except to be faithful in the task at hand in his day-to-day life. But we need to remember that there is a connection between what we do in the natural and what happens in the spiritual. If you want to be advanced or promoted in the spiritual, you must be faithful first in the natural things. It's not this kind of Gnostic idea of everything natural is evil, everything spiritual is good. But what we do in the natural is very important. How many know that God created these bodies, amen, that we're in, these earth suits, all right? And so first it is the natural, we're so this natural life, and then afterwards the spiritual. And what you do in obedience to the Lord now matters in eternity. And we see, of course, the perfect example is our Lord himself, Jesus. In Luke 2 and verse 52, even though he was God in the flesh, he lived the life of a natural boy. And he grew up in wisdom and stature. So first there was the natural, then the spiritual. Okay, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So Jesus continued to increase, it said, in wisdom and stature. Because he was faithful to his earthly parents. We must also learn that it is important to be faithful in natural things. Because again, there is that connection, isn't there, to the spiritual. Paul pleaded with God's people. He said, you need to live a disciplined life. You need to understand the importance of controlling yourself, disciplining yourself, doing the right thing in your body. Are you hearing me, somebody? 1 Peter 2:11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." He's saying we are citizens of heaven. Amen? And that's where we're going to spend eternity. Praise God. Amen? But he said, "Have your conduct honorable among the unbelievers." All right? "And when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." So our lives are supposed to be a visual illustration of who God is. God's faithfulness needs to be demonstrated in our own personal lives. Amen. As people in the world watch us and they see that we have a connection with Jesus and we speak to the Lord and we acknowledge the Lord and we invite the Lord into our situation and we ask Him for advice and we ask Him for protection, amen, and for wisdom in every situation. When the world is watching you and they're starting to see that, you know what, they seem to have something that I don't have. They have a calm assurance about them. They have a peace about them that I don't have. They have a faith in this invisible God that they don't see. And yet I can see the evidence in their lives that there's something more to this person than just a human being. Because if you and I have received the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit was within us, we are supernatural people now. Amen. The natural and the spiritual have come together, amen? And it's supernatural. We are a supernatural people. And the world needs to see the demonstration of a person who has the ability to control themselves, to discipline themselves, to do what is right, amen, in the sight of others, even when the entire crowd may be saying something different. How many know it's easy to go along with what everybody else does? But if everybody else is going the wrong direction, you and I need to be the one that will stand and say, I'm going to rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit to stand my ground and do what is right before my God. Amen. Whether people accept me or not, what matters is that I have favor with God. Because God is seeing. Amen. And God is the one that will one day reward me because I was willing to discipline myself. Amen. And not go along with the crowd, not go along with what's popular, but what's right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And if you want to be advanced, if you want to be promoted in the kingdom, amen, then you're going to have to learn to be faithful in the natural. And you're going to have to get control of your body and of your emotions as well. Can you say amen? Amen. The New Living Translation, verse 12 says, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, ever been accused falsely? They will see your honorable behavior. And they will give honor to God when He judges the world. They will have to acknowledge. Amen. No one likes hard times. Nobody likes difficulties. I don't. But there can be benefits to suffering. Amen. A champion athlete has to have discipline, right? They have to work out. They have to put up with the pain, the discomfort, and the self-denial. Amen. So that they will be ready. Amen. When the time comes for the sport. Okay. Spiritually. Every one of us, every born-again believer, is seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've been united with Christ, raised up together with Him, and seated in the heavenly places, amen, positionally. But in the natural, there is a process we undergo that prepares us for kingdom reigning. And this is what we need to understand. You might be saved, but what God wants to do is He wants to share His kingdom with you. And He's going to share His kingdom, amen, with those who are faithful to Him. For those who endure, they shall also reign with Him. So we're not born again and immediately giving a place of great authority, spiritual authority. God knows better, amen. Sometimes we try to take that authority upon ourselves. Anybody beside myself gotten up ahead of God and tried to do something you weren't just grown up enough for? God wants us to learn, first of all, to rule over our flesh. Amen? If you want to reign with Christ, you must first learn how to rule over your flesh. And you do that by the power of the Holy Spirit, because self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Some people have a lot of willpower, but we need to rely upon God's power because there are certain things that we're just not able to overcome in this world. Are you hearing me, somebody? And so we need God in our lives. We need His help. We need His strength. And the quicker we learn that, the better it will be for us. There are some people that think they don't need God. And there are people that live a dysfunctional life, but to them it's normal because that's the only life they know. There was a time when I was living quite dysfunctional because I was living separate from God, doing my own thing, not acknowledging God at all. Other people knew I was a mess, but I thought I had it all together. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes we're thinking we're doing pretty good when actually we're not. How many know the Holy Spirit is all wise and he can reveal to us, amen, the areas where we're not doing all that well? And if we have a humble, teachable spirit, God can work with us, amen, and he can develop us, and we can learn from our mistakes, we can learn from our failures. Because failures don't have to be the end. The failure is simply a lesson that we can learn, amen? But if we want to really be wise, we need to learn from the mistakes of others and say, you know what, that didn't work for Solomon, that didn't work for David, right? It ain't going to work for me either. What did work for them? Trusting God, relying upon him for everything, amen? That worked. So you're not going to be given authority in the kingdom if you don't learn how to rule over your flesh. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul again said, I discipline my body. I bring it under or into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Wow. The great apostle Paul said that. We grieve the Holy Spirit whenever we act dishonorably. God's order is first the natural. In 1 Corinthians 15:45, I read it again. And so it was written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. He's talking about the resurrection of the body here. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. The first man, Adam, verse 45, what? Became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. Who was the last Adam? Jesus, amen. So, it is written, right? However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. Again, he said, notice first the natural, then the spiritual. And that is why we must be born again, amen? We must be born of the Spirit in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom, amen? We're first born naturally, but then we must be born, reborn spiritually, amen, in order to see the kingdom. So, guys, people in the world cannot understand spiritual things of God. Now, there's a lot of people who are spiritual. I talk to a lot of people and they say, well, I'm a very spiritual person. Well, define what that means. What does that look like? What does being spiritual look like, right? Well, you know, I meditate or I soul travel or, you know, I go to Tibet or whatever it might be, you know. So they're spiritual people. But you have to ask the question, what spirit are you subjecting yourself to? What spirit? Because God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And God is the creator. Amen. There is an almighty God. Amen. The creator of the heavens and the earth. And Jesus Christ, his son, who is our Lord. Amen. But then there are other spirits that want to impersonate the Spirit of God. And one of the telltale signs is that a person who is really into mysticism will have an impersonal life force, if you will. The God force, they may call it. But we know that God is a person and he is personable with us. Amen. And we have fellowship with him. We have communion with him. He's just not some it. But he is a person, amen, that we have fellowship with, a connection with. And you and I were made in his likeness. And God has established, amen, that we would be fruitful and multiply and have families, amen, and have relationships among ourselves. Why? Because as the heavens, so is the earthly. There is a pattern, isn't there? So the people of the world are going to watch us, and they're looking for an example of something that is different than what they know naturally. When I was in the world, I knew a few people, just a few, who I would consider to be real Christians. I knew a lot of people who said they were Christians, but they lived no different than I did. You know? But when I got around those people that they were just a little bit really, really into Jesus people, you know, I got uncomfortable around them. Because the light was shining brightly and I was in darkness. And I could not be comfortable around people when I was in darkness and they're in the light. Are you hearing me? The darkness cannot comprehend the light. Amen. And that's why we have to come to a place where we realize before we can be saved that first we're in darkness. Amen. We need to come into the light of Christ. Amen. And we need to let him shine his light into our hearts. Hallelujah. And we need to let him drive the darkness out of us. And then we become children of light. And when we're children of light, then we love the light. Amen. And we live in the light. We walk in the light and we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Amen. So the people of the world cannot understand spiritual things. They understand natural things, okay? That's why what we do in the natural is important. Hear me. How about living a clean life? How about working hard, paying your bills, being true to your word, loving your spouse and your children, honoring your parents, respecting each other, amen? Showing consideration. How about respecting the waitress at the restaurant? We're out there talking about Jesus, all right, in a group, amen? And the waitress is listening. We should treat that waitress with utmost respect, amen? We should tip well. I know some people get upset when I say tip well, but I say you should tip well as a Christian, amen? We should be demonstrating in practical ways, amen, that we love people. Not mooching off others. Here's another one. Some people they're very spiritual, but they're always mooching. Gimme, 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 gimme. Are you hearing me, somebody? If you have need and you really have a need, don't be afraid to ask for some help, all right? But if you're just a mooch and you just like to live off somebody else's labor, the Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. So let's bring some balance to this whole thing. Amen. If a person's just being lazy, and especially if they're a Christian, amen, and they're not taking care of their family, the Bible says they're less than an infidel. They're rejecting the faith. We're not supposed to be slandering others, gossiping, speaking evil of our coworkers or our boss. I know sometimes people don't treat us right. They don't treat us fairly. But see, that's the difference. Is that we have a God who is with us and in us and who has power for us, strength for us, so that we can control what comes out of our mouth. We can control our attitudes. We need to get our emotions under control. Amen. And not use our emotions as a weapon to manipulate others. Are you hearing me? That's soulish. That is not spiritual. A spiritual person is self-controlled. A spiritual person can say no to themselves. A spiritual person can say no when everybody else is saying yes. Or yes when nobody else is saying. Because they're not going to be controlled by the crowd or the opinions of men, but by the will of God. They're submitting themselves to the Spirit of the Lord and they rely upon Him for life. So what we do matters in eternity. So guys, if we choose not, and it is a choice because God gave us charge of ourselves. If we choose not to restrain ourselves now, we won't be qualified to reign with Christ someday. It doesn't matter what I do. Yes, it does matter. You are sowing something right now in your life. What are you sowing? If you're sowing in the Holy Spirit, you'll reap the benefits of that. Amen. But if you sow to your flesh, you'll reap death. But God wants better for his children. Amen. The Lord wants to share his kingdom with us. He wants us to have an inheritance. He wants us to have treasure in heaven. Amen. He wants us to be eternally blessed. Amen. So what we do now matters in eternity. How I live my life now in the natural will influence my future, come on, and my destiny. Colossians 3:23, once again, in whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. That's why you're a good employee. That's why you're a faithful citizen, all right? That's why you're a trustworthy person. That's why you're a person of integrity, all right? Because you're doing it as unto the Lord. Amen. And as you live as unto the Lord, even people will be pleased. Because they know it's one of the people I can trust. I know that when I leave the job site, John here is going to be faithful. He's not going to sham, as we call it in the army. Act up. Slough off your responsibility, you know. But you're going to be faithful even in the absence of your boss, because you know that God is always watching. And God is taking notes. Amen? How many know everything is open, naked before the one, amen, to whom we will give an account? So today is the day, amen, to get that recalibration, to get my life back in order, amen. I have to discipline myself. If I need to fast and pray, then fast and pray, but get yourself, amen, back under the authority of God, amen. Get your flesh under your control. Come on, somebody. Because what you do in your natural body will have a direct effect on your future and what happens in the spirit realm. In verse 24, it says, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. There's a reward for those who have been faithful. Amen. And he said, back to verse 23, whatever you do. Not just what you do on Sunday morning. Amen. We can all be super spiritual on Sunday morning. But whatever we do in our lives, amen, matters. Worship is more than singing a few songs on Sunday, amen. Worship is a way of life. It's a life committed and devoted to the Lord for His glory, for His honor. I bow before Him, amen, and acknowledge Him as my Lord, my Savior. And so as followers of Jesus, God expects us to humble ourselves, to submit ourselves, amen, and to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, so we can heal the sick, cast out demons, amen, prophesy, and do the works of Christ, amen, as we are given that authorization by our great high priest, amen, in the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, amen, and teach them to observe everything I taught you. So you look at the life of Jesus and the life of the apostles, and you see that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be like Jesus in this world. And so it's very important that we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. But spiritual authority will come as you are proving yourself to be faithful in whatever God has entrusted to you. Don't expect to get a promotion if you're not being faithful in the little thing God has already given you. We have to learn to first be faithful in the little things. And that's why, like in the Korean church, you know, they got guys, and these new guys that are coming up the ranks, you know, they're going to be ministers. They're shining shoes and taking out the trash, and they got them doing all kinds of stuff. They're learning how to be a servant. They're not coming right out of college, and then they're popping them in a pulpit, amen, and they're all big-headed, and next thing you know, there's a crash, amen. But they're teaching them the discipline, amen, of submitting to the authority of another, amen, and being faithful to another person, amen. Because what you do in the natural matters, in the eternal. Are you hearing me? People that are going to be able to stand are people that know how to stay under God's authority. If you don't keep yourself under God's authority, you're heading for a crash because it's pride. It's me saying, I don't need God to be in charge of me. I can do this fine on my own. I don't need God. So the people of the world, they don't understand the spiritual things of God. We're supposed to do these things. We're supposed to heal the sick, cast out demons. But if we don't rule our flesh, our testimony will be ruined. And we're going to lose our effectiveness in reaching others. Are you hearing me? You can have power, but if that power is not under God's authority, you can make a mess of things. You can do more damage than good. If you don't control yourself, you know, you've heard it. Some of them very high profile ministers, amen, who were anointed of God. And they end up in some type of sin, you know. And now everybody sees it. It's all across the news what they did. Because if we don't guard ourselves, the enemy's looking for opportunity, isn't he? We have to discipline ourselves. And we can only do that by relying upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. You may think that you're doing well, but if you really don't have a heart and an understanding and a desire to know Him, come on. If you don't have an understanding that I really need God in my life, I need His strength in my life, I need His wisdom, I need His direction, amen, I need His counsel. If you don't understand that, then you're setting yourself up for disaster, because we were never intended to live independent of our Creator. We were made for Him to walk together, amen, and enjoy the fellowship of His Spirit among His people. The people of the world need to see the message of Christ demonstrated in our day-to-day lives. They need to see integrity. They need to see loyalty in God's people. Truthfulness, faithfulness, self-control. When you're put on the spot and you're put under the pressure, you lie. I'm going to know that you can destroy your credibility very quickly by telling just one little white lie. It wasn't a full lie, it was a little half lie. There's no such thing as a half lie. There's no such thing as a little white lie. Because not only will the Lord take notice, amen, the world is taking notice as well, right? Now remember Peter and John, when they went up to the temple to pray, all right? The world took note of them because they had been with who? Jesus. That was the difference. They were just ordinary fishermen, right? Ordinary guys. Blue-collar workers, if you will. And yet they had been with Jesus, and that made all the difference. And it should be true of us today. It doesn't matter who you are, what echelon and whatever your thing is in life, amen? All of us need to be under the authority of Christ, amen? So that we can bloom where we're planted and be salt and light in that situation, amen? If the church would just rise and shine up, and in this time right now especially, amen? We need some influencers here, amen? And it's God who does the influencing through people who are submitted to Him and willing to allow Him to do it. To be a vessel for Him. To speak His words. To love, amen? To be an example in word and in deed in everything that we do, we should be giving God the glory, amen? Doing it for the glory of God. Good question to ask yourself is what I'm getting ready to do, would this glorify God? In Acts 4:13, it says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they had what? Been with Jesus. So our effectiveness is not in who we are, but in Him, amen, in Christ. Because who we are has been given to us as a gift anyways. Everything came from Him. All good gifts, right? Come down from above from the Father of lights. So in order to have effective Christian service, we need to be fully relying on the Lord. And we are not to put any confidence in our flesh. Flesh meaning a corrupt nature, not your body, but your corrupt nature. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit, amen? And so you're supposed to keep your body pure as well. Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. See, we're only able to bear the fruit, the good fruit that pleases the Lord, as we rely on the Holy Spirit. No confidence in the flesh. In other words, Paul said it this way, In me, I find no good thing. The world says human goodness, humanism, exaltation of the human being, human goodness. We're all intrinsically good, they say. I don't see that. And if we're honest about ourselves, we won't see it there either. As a matter of fact, the Bible is very clear. There is none good. The Lord said there's none good. Amen. There's only one that was good, the only perfect one, Jesus Christ, the man who lived a sinless life. Went to the cross on our behalf, paid the price that we deserve to pay, that we might go free. Hallelujah. That we may receive an inheritance, that we become the children of God. Hallelujah. Through the new birth, citizens of heaven, and that He would set us up positionally right now. Amen. So that we could be faithful in the assignments that He's given us, that are there to test us, to prove us, to promote us. Amen. Because He wants to share His kingdom with us, and He wants us to have authority It's one thing to have power and another thing to have legitimate authority. I said it before, but guys, some people are wanting power. Power, give me the power, give me the power. I want to do miracles. I want to do signs and wonders. And these things we should do. But if you're not under the authority of God, that's dangerous. If you're just seeking power, but you're not submitting to the Spirit of God, you're in a very dangerous place. That's witchcraft. And there's a lot of it going on, even in some circles in the church. First Corinthians 2:4, Paul said, "My speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." Here it is. "But what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Where should your faith be? Right. In God and His ability. Not in yourself, right? So we cannot save others, amen, through fleshly efforts. We cannot save ourselves by our own fleshly efforts. All right? And we can't keep ourselves by our own efforts. It's only by the grace of God that we are kept. It's by the grace of God that we are saved, amen? But we have to be a people that are willing to rely upon the grace of God so that we can bear the fruit that glorifies the Father. We can do nothing apart from Christ. Otherwise, you find yourself back under bondage again to performance and trying to earn credit with God and make God love you more. You need to first understand that God first loved you. Amen. Before you did anything for Him, even when you weren't even looking for Him, He saw you. He loved you. He gave Himself for you. Amen. Laid down His life for you because He wanted you, amen, to be part of His family. And not only as a son and a daughter through the new birth, He wants you to also have an inheritance. He wants you to understand that what you're doing now is preparation for eternity. We are in training for reigning. Help us, Lord. In true worship, a person enters into the presence of God by faith. Amen? For we are the circumcision. Bring that back up. Philippians 3 and verse 3, who worship God in the Spirit. Amen? And we pour out our love, we pour out our praise, our adoration to God. We come with confidence before God by the power of the blood. Amen. We put our faith and our trust in what Jesus has done for us at the cross. Amen. That He paid for every one of my sins. Amen. That He has canceled the debt. That He has made me righteous. Amen. And now I can come with confidence to my Father's throne of grace and receive everything that I have need of. Amen. So a spiritual person is a person who knows that they need God. There are some people, they're so spiritual, they don't need to pray like they used to. They don't need to read the word like they used to. They don't need to go to church because I'm so spiritual, I'm so strong, I don't need those things. How many know that they're actually fleshly, soulish, sensual, and they're relying upon their own ability? How many know that God designed us to be part of a body, something bigger than ourselves, amen? It's God's plan that people get together, amen? And if you will, be the church. We meet in a building, but we are the church. We are the body of Christ, amen? So in true worship, we enter into God's presence by faith, amen? And we worship Him. We pour out our love, our praise, our adoration. Soulish worship, though, on the other hand, is occupied with church buildings, carpet colors, furniture, elaborate ceremonies of candle lighting and wearing these elaborate robes and titles. Deacon first class. Anything that appeals to the emotions is soulish. We can be stimulated by the things that we see. How many know that you can get into trouble by looking at the wrong things? And emotions can be triggered by looking at certain things, whether they be good or bad. So we can never pride ourselves in our personal attainments. But rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, because he is the source of everything good in our lives. Faithfulness to God is so important in our everyday life, because we can't yield fruit except that we abide in him. And once again, I want to read Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. We talk about God's favor. How are you doing today, brother? Well, I'm blessed and highly favored. Positionally in Christ, we are blessed and we are highly favored. Amen. But how many know that God is a good father? Amen. And if a son is being rebellious and disobedient, amen, you're not going to have his favor. Somebody say amen. Amen. God wants to reward. God wants to bless, but he's not going to bless a mess. He's going to first, amen, he wants to clean up the mess, but it requires you and I saying, I'm a mess and I need help. And God, I'm giving my heart back to you. I'm giving my life back to you. I've made a shambles. I made a mess of everything in my life, but Lord, I'm willing to give you the whole thing now. Because I know only you can change me. Only you can change my heart. I may be able to change the things I do externally, and I may be able to impress people by how good I am externally, but what's going on the inside, amen, is going to ultimately determine what comes out on the outside. And so we need to have a heart, amen, that is pure. And only the Lord can do that. And God will give his grace to the humble. God will give his grace to the one that says, I'm not trying to pretend anymore. I'm not going to fake it anymore. I want to be real, amen, with God, because I can't hide anything from him anyways. And the day is coming when we shall give an account to him, amen. And so today is a good opportunity for us to say, you know what? It's time for me to give up the fight and quit running away from God. I need to run to him, the only one that can save me, help me, deliver me, amen, and bring me into my destiny with a great reward. Because God wants to reward his children. He wants to share his kingdom with you. He wants to give you authority with him. But if we don't learn to discipline our flesh, if we don't learn to rule our flesh, then we won't rule with Christ. Christ is just how it is. Last week I talked about how sometimes, you know, we can come to church and we can be all spiritual and do all these things and, you know, swing from chandeliers and all these, you know, be very demonstrative even. But how is it in your personal life? How is it really? Do you live your life as unto the Lord? Do you work as unto the Lord? Do you serve as unto the Lord? Amen? Because everything we do in the natural has a connection to the spiritual. So if I give myself over to the lusts of my flesh, as Solomon had done, amen. Even though he had begun well, he ended poorly. What he did in his natural body, amen, affected him spiritually. What Samson did in his natural body had a direct impact on his spiritual life, amen. One day he went to shake himself as he always did, and the anointing was gone. I don't know about you, but I know that life is very short and we should be making the most of every opportunity. We should be living, amen, for the glory of God. And knowing that whatever I do in word or deed, I should do for his glory, knowing that I will receive a reward someday, amen, for being faithful. So what I do, how I live my life matters. What you look at, what you listen to, what you read, what you talk about is all connected to the spiritual realm. I was sharing with a brother the other day, and I've shared this with you before, but sometimes I'll get into a project, you know, whether it's building something or fixing something or working on the vehicle. I don't do that too much anymore because I usually have a bad experience when I try to do that. But I can remember, you know, getting frustrated, you know, trying to get this bolt off or whatever, and you slip and you hit your knuckles, and then you're like, and then like, ah! And it seems like the more that you begin to vent and complain, the worse it gets. That's why, because what you're doing in the natural and what you're speaking out of your mouth has a direct, right, connection to the spiritual. That's why if we have stinking thinking and stinking conversation, it invites the demonic. So we want to align ourselves with the will of God. Amen? And we need to control ourselves. And so you're going to be tested. How many know that already? We're tested, aren't we? We're put under the pressure cooker at times. Amen? Because that's the time when we learn how to really lean in heavy on Jesus. Amen? And draw from his eternal resources and know that truly I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not just a nice verse that I like to say, but it is true that I can do it because God gives me the ability. But he wants me to learn how to lean on him, because Paul said, when I am weak, then I am strong. When I am weak in myself and realize that in me I don't have anything good to offer, amen, my life comes from him. I'm relying upon the power of God to be who I'm called to be, because it's not of me, it's of him. We're just vessels. Being faithful in the natural things will position you to receive an anointing to reign with Christ in the kingdom. Hallelujah. How many say, Lord, give me more? Lord, I want a greater anointing. Okay. Buckle your seatbelt. And be faithful, all right? And to whatever God has put before you, to be a good steward. Amen. Let's start out by just saying, okay, you know what? My flesh says I don't want to pray. My spirit says you're going to pray. Who's going to win? Amen. God says, okay, I see you're faithful. You didn't feel like it, but you did it anyways. And now I'm going to reward you for that. Amen. I want to say it one more time, but God is looking for user-friendly vessels. He's looking for somebody who's going to be like a David, who's willing to do all of his will. David wasn't perfect, but he had a heart after God. Amen. And he was willing to do all of his will. We have only a short time left, guys. God is wanting to do much more than what we're presently experiencing. I thank God for good services. I thank God for you and the good times we have together. But there's so much more that we need, that we have to pray through. Amen. So that God will release the glory of his presence. Amen. The very glory of God to come down. Amen. To where it's going to be less of us struggling to do anything and God just sovereignly beginning to move in our lives and our families for salvation and healing, deliverance and miracles. Amen. And for people even walking down the streets, hallelujah, that are going to be arrested by the Holy Spirit because there's a people that have committed themselves to pray. Amen. Until God comes down, hallelujah, in his glory. And I believe God is going to honor this. And I don't want you to wait till September 1st. Amen. Start praying now. Amen. Hallelujah. God wants to break through. God wants to save America. God wants to transform hearts and lives all around us. Amen. And he wants to begin with his church. He wants to do a work in us. Amen. If my people will forsake the idols and all the other things that we think are so important. Amen. And you look at our life, it's just quickly going by. You're not going to be able to redeem any of that you've done outside of the will of God. But everything that you do in agreement with what God's heart is, his will is, amen, will be eternal. It will be rewarded for eternity. And someday it will be worth it. Are you willing to make the commitment? The fasting will look different for everybody. I'll give you some more details. I believe that God has given me some things, an agenda that we're going to pray. And we're going to meet probably around 7 o'clock every night. But those who can't come, we're going to ask that you would find time wherever you are. At that same time, if you can. To also be in agreement with us in the Spirit. And we're going to pray and we're going to seek the face of God. People need the Lord. America needs the Lord. We're at a crossroads. It can go either way. I believe that God wants to change things. That God wants to turn things around. But he's waiting on the church. We can shout and we can complain about the politicians and all the things they're doing. God's looking at his people. Because you and I are the one that have been authorized, have given the authority in the spiritual realm, amen, to bind and to loose. and to bring transformation to this country. Amen. But we have to be willing to commit ourselves to that. It's like having a blank check and God saying, well, if you're not going to fill it out, it's not going to happen. Amen. We have to take the steps. We have to take action. We need to be involved in any place that God would call you to make a difference, to be salt and to be light in this country. Amen. Because God, I believe, again, he wants to bring transformation and reformation, even in the church. As I heard Mario Murillo say, big screens, skinny jeans, and fog machines. It's not about that. Amen? We need to get back to the Lord. Hallelujah. We're not here to entertain man. Amen. We want to bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And out of gratitude, serve others. Amen.